Welcome to the Bold Brave Women Story Hour, where we share with you the heroic and intimate journeys of everyday women to inspire and accompany you as you boldly face your day and bravely make a difference in the world. And here's your hostess, master relationship coach, best-selling author, award-winning international speaker, and founder of the Bold Brave Women Club, Mei Vu.
Well, good morning or good evening, wherever you're at. This is Mei Vu, the host for the Bold Brave Women Conversations. Oh, I love doing these shows because I get to connect deeply with amazing women around the world, some of whom are my friends and some of whom are new to me. And every single woman has a story that they either have been through or are going through that is so amazing, heartwarming, and down-to-earth, raw, real, and just, I'm looking for another R, but I can't come up with one. So I'll just say my favorite word, amazing. And the reason why I do these shows is because I love being a bold and brave woman myself, and I admire all the women that I have come across, get to know personally or just from Facebook or in the media, whatever. But when I get to know the real story of what is happening, it opens my heart, it inspires me, and it helped me get in touch with the humanness of this journey. I think a lot of times being bold and brave, we are so busy. We can get caught up in the facade of being bold and brave. We can get caught up in our own expectation of how we should be as a bold and brave woman. And it doesn't have to be that way. To me, a bold and brave woman is someone who's going through life and being really vulnerable, is able to talk about what is happening instead of waiting until it all comes together and, you know, there's a silver lining and the rainbow and birds are, you know, coming out and singing and you can look back and say, oh, yeah, that happened to me. When I can catch the story of what is happening right now for women, it's so beautiful. And so today I have one of my dearest friends, actually. She, we came together many years ago, over a decade now, as students and teachers, and then we grew through several iterations. And her name is Maria Appelquist, and she brought me to Sweden and actually helped me give birth to my signature work, the Loving the Three Ps. Those of you who don't know what that is, you can look up my book called The Divorced Mom's Guide to Dating on Amazon, or just follow me on Facebook, Mei Vu Coach or Hot Life, Hot Love, and you'll get plenty exposure to this powerful concept called the Three Ps, where I am able to explain what happened to women and how did we get here. I mean, I like to say the real question is helping you answer the question, what the beep happened in your life and in your relationship, and how did you get here, and how can you undo your patterns of relationship with yourself and with others so that you can have what I call the happily ever after for real this time. So Maria Appelquist helped me gave birth to that. I took the concept at that time. It was about 5 or 7 years ago. It was just something that I've been, you know, playing, tinkering with in the closet with a few of my clients. And we took it to Sweden and we exposed it to 12 amazing Swede women and they loved it. And I just thought, wow, I knew nothing about Swedish women. I didn't even know the language. And yet this concept resonated with them and they wanted more. So that's the history of who Maria means to me. And over the years, we have been allies and supporters, and, you know, we just cherish each other. Whenever Maria comes to America, I host her as much as possible. And when I come to Sweden, I make sure that I carve out time to spend with her and so that we stay in each other's life. And recently, Maria just went through a big thing, a big life scare. So I'm so excited that she is here with us today, and she is going to share what's it like to walk this journey. I don't even know what it's like. I knew something big happened. I've been so busy and we haven't really had a chance to talk. So you're actually going to hear us two women friends that reconnecting after big events happen in our life, and we'll capture her journey. Let me just say a little bit more about Maria. Maria Abacus is a pioneer in Sweden. She was one of the first Swedish women who learned about life coaching probably almost 20 years now, way back when, and she took herself from Sweden to California to learn the life coaching concept, and at that time I was one of the teacher for the school. That's how we first met. And since then, she also has brought orgasmic meditation to Sweden and to Europe, really. That was the next big move in human development about 10 years ago or so. Orgasmic meditation came onto the planet in a big way. And I said we because I also got to be a part of helping that movement grow to bring this consciousness around our sexuality and connection and being present to ourselves. It's a very big body of work that gave birth onto the planet, and so Maria was part of it, and I helped the organization called One Taste develop their coaching program. And then Maria brought it back to Europe and helped it propagate and until today, actually. And she continued to do that, and she has her own coaching practice over in Sweden. And she actually works with international clients, so it's not just Swedish women. And in her own right, she is a doctor of sociology. Maria, you're the only guest that I know that I could just introduce all your credibilities without looking at any notes and everything, which makes me so happy. I wish I could understand Swedish, because Maria speaks about what she knows about humanity, relationship, sexuality, and leadership to her colleagues and her community in Sweden all the time. And every time she speaks, she wakes people up, she stirs them up, some get scared a lot, have their eyes open and are drawn to her, and she's waking people up in that side of the world. So I'm so honored to have Maria as my friend, as someone I could just say, hey, can you do this for me? Can you pick me up from the train station? You know, all that stuff. Like, I'm so privileged to get to know Maria and have her love and her support for me. And so, Maria, come on in.
Thank you, May, for that introduction. It's I feel exhausted. When I'm hearing it, I feel like exhausted. Like, oh, have I done all this?
Yeah, and we forgot, right? So I'm going to, because you, it's okay. I have an Asian accent and you have a Swedish accent, and it's so funny that I'm going to try to repeat some of your words so that the audience can hear clearer. But yeah, so one of the things that we didn't even say is Maria wrote a book on Jante, which is the Swedish cultural norm that really limits people from living their full life. And that was way back when, right? Is it almost decades now?
Yeah, it's more than it's a decade ago. But it's actually a universal phenomenon, May, the saboteur voice. It's the imposter syndrome. Who do you think you are? You have no right to. What kind of right do I have to be big, bold, and beautiful? That's the imposter syndrome.
Let me slow that down. So it's like, so you call it the imposter syndrome?
Yeah, that's the psychological term. Yeah. It's actually the psychological term for the phenomenon, the cultural phenomenon we in Scandinavian countries call the Lov om Jante, is extremely strong in our countries, but it's actually a universal phenomenon. So in different countries, they have different ways of speaking about the phenomenon. So, you know, in Australia, they say tall poppy syndrome, you know, the flowers, the poppies,
so
right? When they become tall, they
I see, because part of the world has different ways of speaking to this phenomenon. So in your world, it's called the imposter syndrome. In Australia, it's called the popper syndrome.
The tall popper. But the imposter syndrome is actually the right psychological term for it. I mean, there is research that shows how women have a higher level of imposter syndrome compared to men, for instance. But so the phenomenon to have that feeling of, no, I can't do that, I'm not worthy, I can't shine out, what are people going to say? Like, all that is a part of the universal phenomenon that goes back to the roots, I think, of our ancestors that were living in tribes, because you didn't survive alone, so you couldn't get out of the tribe, right? If you escaped and were doing your own thing, you were killed by the lions or the animals or other tribes. So you needed your tribe in order to survive, and that's part of that's why it's such a strong psychological phenomenon within the human nature that it's universal.
So, you know, I'm very irreverent in my sociology. You're very well studied, and I'm like, you know, like Joe Blow, just poking at it from my own perspective. But I do feel very like I have some kind of past life Viking roots in me, you know. So that's my claim to being a Viking. Because I every time I go to Sweden, I always feel so home, so welcome. So I'm fascinated by the culture. And one of the things that I I have a humorous thought in my head about is, of course you would have this don't rock the boat kind of syndrome, where don't stand out, don't rock the boat, don't be too much too, because, you know, like Vikings, you guys have those Viking ship that, you know, very skinny, and everybody have to sit where they sit and they just row, and if you kind of rock the boat tip over. So anyway, I'm just making up a very non-sociology analogy in my head of like how way back when, you know, this is where we evolutionized from, right? So now, even though you live on land, you still don't rock your boat and don't stand out because it's not safe.
Exactly. And even if we're living in a modern society with high technology, most people really don't see how we're playing different kind of roles and how which are impacted upon us from media, television, friends. So some people really get lost into finding themselves. I think that's a big part of frustration. So you become separated and disconnected from yourself and your own, you know, like, who am I? Like, the core of my being. Most people never ask themselves that kind of question. And that form, a lot of people are living their life just by default and reacting to circumstances in their lives. So for me, becoming a coach was so much about helping people see that they can take leadership over their own life and start design my life, my relationships on my own conditions, not my environment condition.
So tell us, so actually let's first of all, I just want everyone to know, see, I told you she was really smart, and then the next thing is I actually want to know what's been happening for you, honey bunny. Like, What was the life scare that knocked you over, and where are you with all of this stuff?
You know, I don't know, but I think I just had too much things to do, and I think that's what happens. And we are busy with a lot of things, and we have a lot of things to do, and being still a teacher and in a scientific environment, which is part of being there, is I know I inspire students, but at the same time becoming so extremely acute aware how my way of being or embracing the feminine is such contradictory to the academic, you know, being in your head intellectual thing. So what happened for me was that during one of the seminars I was doing with my students, I zoomed out. I had like a flash going to my brain. Mm-hmm. And I ended up in an ambulance to the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and it's still so traumatic that you're tearing up. So you take a breath, and let me just like fill in here for a second. It's like, so during one of your seminar that you were, and you and I, you know, you're on your side of the world and me on this side, like working really hard to get our messages out, doing our work in the world, loving our clients, trying to pay bills, you know, just like every bold brave woman out there. Yeah. And so I know you have been going through a really courageous journey in growing your business and reaching a wider audience. And people just don't know. You know, they see us out there, and they see the glamour and the success of us, but they don't know what it takes behind the scene to build an entrepreneurial business, to build, to wake people up, to get people to come and talk to us, to make an impact, and then to make it safe enough for people to say yes to work with you and to change their life and all that stuff, right? So you've been courageously doing all that, and during one of your recent seminar, your brain zoomed out and you just collapsed, and the next thing you knew, you were in an ambulance. Holy shit.
Well, the good thing is they did a brain scan and there was nothing wrong with my brain.
Well, yeah, that is a good thing. Yes, but I want to know.
Yes.
Why is that funny? You know, I want to know why that's funny.
Well, it is funny because it's good to know that you have no damage on your brain. But at the same time, it of course, like I remember how afraid I really was in the ambulance. My fear in the ambulance when the nurse he told me that, you know, in the best scenario you just have some little bleeding on your brain.
Yeah, right.
And it was in that moment I realized that, oh my gosh, maybe it was a stroke. So it's really and when that happened, you start to think about what did I do with my life? Did I do the right thing? Am I living in the place where I want to be? Is this how I want my life to continue? So you start to ponder about all these questions. But so that's one thing. And another thing was actually I realized that there was something wrong with me, because like my podcast partner had said that she had seen it in my Facebook messaging to her. She said, like, usually I can read what you, like, I can read and you usually don't make grammar error. But I realized that now when you say it, I understood, because I've seen that the days before you were actually, some of what you were writing, I couldn't read. I had a problem understanding it.
Okay, that's really scary, honey. Let me just slow you down for a second and catch up here. So so you had this collapse and something went wacky in your brain. Luckily, you know, fast forward a little bit, there's nothing wrong with your brain that they can detect. But while you were in the ambulance, the nurse said that you could be having a stroke, which then threw you into this place of wondering, what have I done? Did I do enough? Did I live my life right? Did I miss something? How did I get here? Why did this happen to me? All this stuff, which is really kind of crazy considering you have lived your life fully. You have missed it all. You didn't stay in the comfort zone of, you know, keeping your beautiful, I remember that beautiful apartment that you used to own, and, you know, keeping your prestigious professor job so that you can, you know, keep going and staying in the system. But you went outside of that. You risked it all to live, to travel, to live life according to your own calling and desire, and to touch and move and make an impact with people. And yet in that moment, you still were questioning yourself. That's fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, I was, because I lived my life full, but it was like I'm still not happy with what I had. So I actually decided from then that I have to be grateful for every day and be grateful for what I have and start worship where I'm at. That's something I made a conscious choice to.
Okay, well, slow us down for a second some more. I'm having goosebumps and chills. So even though you were, this is an important distinction because, you know, we've been in the personal growth movement for a long time now. We have, you know, we were the first one, well, maybe not the first, but the first wave, the second wave of people who heard the call 20 plus years ago, you know, how the word fulfillment just came onto the planet, right? Like, I remember fulfillment, satisfaction, what is all that? Now it's cliche, but then it was really new. And so we've been doing that. You've been doing that. And what the difference was when, even though it looks like you were living life according to your own terms, you were not happy. You were not satisfied with yourself, with what life was bringing. And so this we'll call it, invisible stroke or the stroke of genius, right? This stroke of genius that happened, had you realized that, oh my gosh, even though I was doing it, I wasn't enjoying it. I wasn't satisfied with the result that I was having. I wasn't being grateful.
No, I was valuing when I was out and travel. So I was valuing being out, being on travel, I wasn't being appreciative enough being back home in Sweden. So I think what shifted for me, so for instance, this is just one example, but I could never ever imagine that I would, suddenly, because I've been living the past years more like in the feeling of I'm ready to leave this place and store my things. I don't need to buy more things. I have everything ready. Like and suddenly I find myself buying Christmas things. Mm-hmm. I've never done that in many years. Like it was when my son was a little boy. So and suddenly I find myself the other week buying Christmas balls you put in a tree, and I don't even have room for a tree, but I bought them. So there is something about, I think for me it's important to create beauty around me where I am, and it's something about embracing that.
So what I'm hearing is that and I remember this, right? Ever since I've known you, you've had this desire to leave Sweden, to not be where you were. You kept thinking and wanting to come to the state, thinking that living in California or in Colorado or anywhere else, in Bali, was going to be the happiness place for you instead of where you were.
And
you felt, sometimes you also felt trapped with that way, with your thoughts around that.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that's what I'm feeling, is it became a trap. And what has shifted now is to be appreciative of where I'm actually at. So, for instance, I've been focusing on my international clients to speak English, to create in English, to build a tribe around conscious love. I'm interviewing people. I have a book that will come out in spring on conscious couples and conscious love. And now I'm finding myself, I'm going to create relationships dinners for people here in London. So and that was something I never thought of before. So now it's something like I need to be, here's where I am. I need to get my customer here where I'm living.
Mm.
And I never put my energy in that direction before, but
I know. I'm so happy to hear that, because I do. I mean, like, I have the privilege of being your friend, so it's like I remember, you know, your struggle with not loving where you were at and always feeling trapped there, and now, and making your people wrong. It's like, you know, no, they're ready. They want you. And so now you're turning your attention to your own people and being of service there and creating a relationship dinner. I like it. I have to talk to you on the side about this. I have an idea that I'm cooking up around this relationship dinner thing. Here we are again. I'm going back to Sweden, everyone.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm feeling now, is I didn't have a desire for it, and now I have a desire for it. And I don't know, maybe it's because I've been a relationship expert on the radio show the past few months, and I'm just I haven't been willing to really claim any kind of relationship expert status, but suddenly I realized that that's how people perceive me. And I just have to own that and embrace it and bring it out, because I know people do need to have conversations about this, because there is so much both men and women are unaware about when it comes to conscious dating, conscious relationships, conscious sexuality. Yeah, how to really create and design a thriving life together.
Yeah, totally. Oh, this is so good. I want to create a conscious erotic dinner with you in Sweden. Mm-hmm. How's that?
Yeah. Yes, the conscious.
Oh, you heard it here first on Bold Brave Woman Conversations. We're going to create a conscious erotic dinner in Sweden, and it's going to be so yummy and hot. Yay! So back to you and this dramatic journey. So how are you now taking care of yourself and mentally and physically?
So I think for me, the most important is to find my energy coming back after. And I was out of energy. So I've been, from the beginning, I was taking away everything. Like, I didn't even have a desire to work on my business. And that is unusual. I was just watching videos, Netflix, with happy movies in order to feel good. Mm-hmm. And And next is really to come back to my routines again, to do my yoga in the morning, to do my meditation in the morning, to get back into the routines I know is good for me and that I've been out of. Also due to traveling, because this is also what happens when you travel a lot. It just it becomes somehow it can be more difficult, depending on where you are, to stay to your routines. And I realize how extremely important it is for me to have to create the structure that also gives me the energy and freedom.
So back to basic, do your yoga, do your meditation, do your self-care first instead of pushing and pushing and trying and working hard over and over again, thinking that that's going to get you to what you want. I mean, earlier in the show, I talked about, you know, my 3 P's concept. This is one of the classic P number one, you know, which is what I call the peasant woman, right? The peasant woman inside all of us, the hardworking woman who thinks that if she would just work harder, she's going to get what she wants. And she bypasses her tiredness, she bypasses her aches and pains. Then the aches and pain gets bigger to some kind of body permanent kind of pain or illness, and then she still doesn't listen to that, and then it has to be something big like this, you know, a stroke or an invisible stroke or a cancer or something to like or autoimmune disease or it's getting louder and louder for the peasant woman around the world to slow down, to take good care of yourself, to breathe. You have enough. Everything is going to be okay. Everything is okay, and everything's going to be okay. And find that gratitude and happiness in this moment. We're so busy chasing that we forget to let go and trust and stay home and put out a Christmas tree.
And you know what was interesting, May, and I realized just like, so this is the first time I'm speaking about this in public. Like I really had a shame around being so ill. So I had to cancel one of my clients the week after because I had a headache and I was so ill, I was actually throwing up. So I just had to cancel her. And it was the first time in my life I canceled a coaching client. And it felt
first
like
time
I'm not
in your
even...
life? Are you kidding me? Yes. Holy shit, girlfriend.
Yes. It was the first time in my life I canceled a coaching
client. There's a humongous commander inside you. You know, I'm shocked because I don't like to cancel on my client either, but I would not say this is the first time. I mean, I do have to cancel, and it's okay. Like, sometimes you're just too tired to be of service. You got to just sleep.
Yeah, I noticed that I couldn't be of service. But the interesting thing is, you know, I work with sexuality and conscious sexuality and helping women reclaim their sexuality. And I know a lot of women have shame around that. I never felt that. But when they were taking me out to the ambulance, I was shame. I drove a blanket over my head so people were not going to see me. And I was well aware because I was wearing my cowboy boots, and I know that some people actually recognizing the cowboy boots, which they did, right?
Right, that, yeah.
But I was like, when I came into an ambulance, I told my friend who joined me to the hospital and who called them, I told her, this, now I know how it feels to be in shame. I haven't, it was so long time I had that experience. I had no connection to it, but now I know how it feels like. Isn't that interesting?
Oh my goodness. Interesting is such a light word for this moment. I need to start using the word F really soon here. Are you kidding me? Oh my God. And I totally get it, right? Isn't that so amazing to be in touch with that moment when your body collapsed because you have pushed so hard, and instead of self-love and compassion, what you feel is shamed. It's
yeah.
shame that you couldn't hold it together. I get it. Oh my goodness. I could see that. You know, I could see that. I could feel that in my body too. I just like, oh, I should be able to, you know, be perfect in relationship because I'm a relationship coach. I should be strong and powerful and together because, you know, I have been out there living, telling people and teaching people how to live life fully by themselves, and I should be able to blah blah blah, all whatever the expectation that we put on ourselves because we think we should be.
I had a conversation with a friend this weekend with Joey, and we were talking about this, and he said, well, you know, Maria, it sounds like you're really in your feminine now, you're vulnerable.
You've talked about that a little bit, so I want to grab that. Maria talk about being in the feminine a lot, and if you're listening to this show, you probably have heard that out there, and you probably are a seeker and a personal growth junkie like us, you know. And so being in the feminine is a big buzzword in the self-development, personal growth world. And basically all that means is what? It's like, what is being in the feminine, Maria?
Well, for me, being in the feminine is really to tap into your softer aspect of you. It's about being instead of doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's about surrender, letting go instead of pushing through. It's about listening inwards, to listening to your intuition, to embrace. And I strongly believe there is a feminine way of how to be in your business as well, which I'm trying to live after.
Right. So the feminine part is really puzzling, especially for women, which is so funny because feminine is usually associated with women. But the truth is everybody has feminine and masculine energy inside us, men and women. And the women in the world tend to lead more with the feminine energy, which is the part, like Maria said, you know, the vulnerable part, the chaos, the inspiration, the spontaneity, the softer, the surrendering, the, you know, if you think about sex, it's like there's the soft, fleshy body of the woman, that's the feminine side, and then there's the hard body of the man, and the woman has the vagina that receives and the man have the cock that penetrates. So that's I'm trying to like have you feel the energy of this, not just the visual of this, right? So there's the feminine essence that receives, and then there's the masculine energy of penetrating and moving forward and taking things into the world. Now, we have both of that inside the woman and the men. And speaking for the woman, because we want to experience all of ourselves, because we want to experience our power and what we can create and what we're meant to be in this world and to do in this world, we tend to be more masculine in ourself lately. We tend to penetrate. We tend to push forward, we drive our children around, we drop off, we grab our briefcase, we go to work, we make money. All of those things are masculine energy. And then there's the feminine energy of taking baths and making love to a man or surrendering or even cooking and creating, painting, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Push aside because we're so busy doing, doing, and doing. And so that's what Maria is talking about, is how and being a Swede, a Scandinavian, whoo, the talk about masculine energy for women, right? Very stoic, very strong, very capable, very equal, the egalitarian society. So, so you've been holding and creating, and you've been a single woman. You are a sole supporter of yourself, and you're a mom of a child. Well, he's not a baby child; he's a full-grown adult, but still, right? He's bigger than you, but still, you're the mom, the provider, the anchor for him, and all this stuff. So all the masculine energy, and it's hard for you. And you're so smart. You're a doctor, and you teach, and you bring concept into the world. So all of that is the masculine energy, and it was harder for you to surrender to the collapse, the tiredness, the love, the softer, the essence, all that stuff.
And, you know, actually since the collapse, I've been starting to cook more food. I do much more cooking. So now when you're reminding me about that expression of the feminine, that's something I didn't do for myself. I would prefer to eat something out or just do something very quick. And I have done like half day cooking, raw food, bowls, chocolate bowls, and enjoying that really. I think it's the feminine who goes and buy the Christmas thing as well.
Right. And what's so interesting is I'm going to ask you this other big question is, so all this time you were pushing really hard because you're afraid of, you know, not doing enough, running out of money, how do you pay your bills and all that stuff, and now you're surrendering. Do you feel any poorer or richer? How does that play out?
I don't feel a difference because I've been living in the perspective of abundance, and I still live in that abundance is here. But it's what I'm determined to is I have to do things in a new way. So I'm shifting everything I'm doing in a way. So I instead of repeating the pattern how I used to do or spend my day or what I used to do, I'm trying to do something totally different.
Yet you still have enough, all is well, you're cared for. You didn't have to be so masculine to accomplish the same thing.
Yay!
Well, my love, I am so glad that there's nothing wrong with your brain. I'm so glad that you're here and that you're finding a softer and more vulnerable place of yourself, and you're healing yourself and being gentle and bringing another layer of understanding of this human journey to your people and to all of us.
Yeah, it's true. I'm grateful for the opportunity to have this conversation with you right now. I think it's a part of the healing journey as well, to speak about it and acknowledge.
And it's a scary journey. I want to not step over that and just to honor it, you know, that your journey of breaking down physically like that can be very scary, can be very lonely, can be, you know, very unknown. It's like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen to me? All of us are afraid of where you're at. I can speak for everybody. It's like, oh no, I don't want that at all. And at the same time, I'm so grateful that you're there, so that and that you're sharing with us that it's okay. It actually is exactly what you need. So I'm gonna bring this to a close, and thank you so much, Maria, for being here, for sharing your journey, of sharing what is happening right now with us. And I love seeing your feminine essence blossoming and showing us what's it like to go through a scary life event so that you can find the softer you and the full you and the grateful you. Yeah.
Thank you for having me, May.
You're so welcome. Is there, how can they find you? What's the easiest way to find you?
Oh, the easiest way to find me is to either connect with me on Facebook or send me an email to maria@mariaapplequist.com.
Yeah, so Maria Applequist is very Swedish spelling, so let me just spell that out.
Yeah.
So Apple,
Applequist.
Yep, so
.com.
It's QV, not QU like the way the English spell it.
No, yeah.
QVIST.com. So Maria Applequist at, or you can find her on Facebook or you can message her at
You
Maria
can also find me on Your Tango, where I'm one of the experts and writing articles. So there's also a way to find me and connect with me. Yeah.
I love that you write English articles. Anyway, this is May Vu. I am your love and relationship expert over here in California and in the States. I do not speak Swedish, but I do work with Swedish clients. I, thanks to Maria, she has introduced me to a handful of lovely women, and I really do want to create that erotic dinner in Sweden. You know, every time I have a brand new idea, I go to Sweden and test it out. So why not? Next February is the Valentine's in February is when the third 50 Shades of Grey movie coming out. So why don't we think about creating an erotic relationship Anyway, you can find me on Facebook also. It's May Vu Coach, M-A-I-V as in Victor, U as in Union, May Vu Coach. I have a few slots left if you friend me, and you can still be my friend before the 5,000 people limits is max. You can also find my fan page, Hot Life, Hot Love, on Facebook. I post a lot of great content on there. What else? Oh, and if you love this show and you want to be part of the Bold Brave Women community, I have a private Bold Brave Women community Facebook group. It's called Bold Brave Women. And you can ask to join. And when you're there, if you share your story and you have something to say, I would be honored to make you my friend and get you on the show and let you share your story so that we can get in touch with that deep essence. What does it take to be a bold, brave woman in the world with full femininity, with vulnerability, with love and support so that we can be strong leader, be a leader that we are, raise healthy children, and be loved, adored, and cherished by our men or many men around us so that we can do our work in the world. That is what I strive for. And to that extent, namaste, and I will talk to you in the next conversation. Thank you again, Maria. Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. We hope you were touched, moved, and inspired by today's story. If you resonate with these stories and would love to tell yours, then join our Bold Brave Women Club on Facebook, facebook.com/boldbravewomen.